It's not just in Tarryag Mitzvos. It's a dominant theme in the Rambam's Yud Gimel Ikrei Amunah. It's not just that the Rambam thinks you have to listen to a Navi, we all do. But the Rambam thinks it's one of the foundational principles of Judaism that there's such a thing as a Navi and he communicates God's word. Okay? And in fact, probably, well, for certainly two of the Ikrei Amunah relate to Nevuah, and probably three. The Rambam is borderline obsessed with it, and we'll have to look at it and see why. Okay, but let's start with this week's Parsha, just because it's fascinating. Was Bilam a Navi or not? So, on the one hand, it's clear that God communicated with Bilam in a way that he doesn't communicate with any of us. But, you know, he doesn't strike us as who we would want to be a Navi because, you know, he seems like a bad guy. So let's look quickly. Okay, there it is. Let's look quickly at two inconsistent Rambans. That's the Pasuk, Vayavo Elokim El Bilam, Laila Vayomer Lo, Imli Kro Lecha Bo, Hanashim Kum Lechitam. Right, the second time God comes to Bilam, once he had told him no, now he says to him, you know what, if these people came for you, go with them. But you're limited in what you can tell them. You can only say what I say. Says the Ramban, why is God letting Bilam go? Ki haratzon lifanav yitbarach, because it was the divine will, sheyivarech et Yisrael mipi navi lagoyim. God wanted us to receive a blessing from a Navi Lagoyim. The phrase Navi Lagoyim is not, you know, it's not new to the Ramban. He stole it. Yirmiyahu was called Navi Lagoyim. Okay, but here he refers to Bilam as a Navi. In the second part of the story, the middle part of the story, when they're traveling, this great scene where Bilam's donkey refuses to move. He doesn't realize there's a malach standing in front of him. And then the pasuk says, Vayigal Hashem et einei Bilam, Vayaret malach Hashem nitzav baderech v'charbo shlufa biyado. God opens up Bilam's eyes. He sees the malach standing with a sword in the middle of the road. Vayikom vayishtachu le'apov. And he bows to the malach. Says the Ramban, Vayigal Hashem et einei Bilam. Wait, what does it mean that God opened up Bilam's eyes? Mizeha katuv nilmad. From here we can learn. Ki Bilam lo haya navi. Bilam was not a navi. Why? Ilu haya navi. Had he been a navi, eich yitzdarech ligilui ha'einayim biri'iyat hamalach. Well, if he was a navi, why would God have had to come and open his eyes to see the malach? Kashe yamar katuv b'misha lo higia l'nevuah. The Ramban says that happens in the Torah. Hagar, for example, it says God opened her eyes, right? People who aren't Nevi'im, God has to open their eyes to see certain things. So again, the first Ramban refers to Bilam as Navi Lagoyim. The second Ramban makes clear that Bilam was not a Navi. Now, I don't think that they're really, really inconsistent. I think it's a different use of the term Navi. As we'll see, there may be some kind of continuum upon which God reveals himself to you, and sometimes you qualify as a Navi, and sometimes not. But what's clear is that God does communicate to Bilam, and, you know, unlike us, right, a donkey never spoke to me, and I never saw a malach, as far as I know, so there's something unique going on with Bilam. Okay, all that still by way of introduction, and now let's really get started. Here's the Rambam in Mitzvah Kuf Ayin Beis. Okay, 172. Now again, the source for Nevuah is not this week's Parsha. There is nothing in this week's Parsha that you have a mitzvah to listen to a Navi, to not listen to a Navi. The source is elsewhere. The theme is the theme of our Parsha. Okay, here we go. V'ha-mitzvah ha-kuf ayin bet, hi shetzivanu lishmoa l'chol navi me-ha-nevi'im, says the Rambam. The mitzvah is to listen, meaning to obey, to any one of the Nevi'im, v'la'asot kol ma sheyitzaveh, okay, and to do everything that he would command. So that seems pretty easy, right? All of us are comfortable with that. If it was a real Navi, how do I know it's a real Navi? Don't know yet. But if it's a real Navi, he tells me what to do, I would do it. And here comes the first Afilu tziva behefech mitzvah. Even if he tells you to do the opposite of a mitzvah. He says, you know what? July 4th, this whenever celebrated, I can say July 4th observed, no tefillin. But he's a navi. O klal mitzvot meha mitzvot ha'elu, or even a grouping of mitzvot. But don't worry, there's a limitation, says the Rambam. Ubitnai sheyihyeze lefi sha'a. It has to be temporary. Okay, he can come and say, no tefillin on July 4th this year. Okay? Lo sheyitzaveh lahatmid tosefet o chisaron. Here's critical. He can't permanently add a mitzvah to the Torah, and he cannot permanently subtract a mitzvah to the Torah. He can do things halachically, temporarily. Okay, so first of all, this ought to be like a really easy thing. I don't know why false Nevi'im are unfamiliar with this Rambam. Like, if you want to be a false Navi, show up. Don't change halacha forever, because then we'll know you're faking it. Change it temporarily. But here you have the first example that we've seen together of one of the roles, one of the permitted roles of a prophet is he's allowed to change the Torah, the halachic portions of the Torah. He's allowed to change halacha temporarily. Okay? And the fair question is, I was doing great till then. You want to tell me they're a Nevi'im, you want to tell me they come and they give me moral encouragement, and they warn me and they support me, they do all those things, that's great. But why, if the Torah is perfect, would part of the Navi's role be to change it temporarily? Okay, back to our point. V'hakatuv sheba bo hatzivui hazeh hu amaro yitbarach elav tishmon. It's a pasuk in Shoftim, we'll see it in a minute. It says the Rambam, elav tishmon, that is a mitzvah sase min haTorah, commanding us to obey the word of a prophet. Okay, v'lashon sifrei, so it turns out the Rambam didn't introduce that halachic thing, it's a sifrei. Elav tishmon, afilu amar lecha la'avor alachat me'elu hamitzvot ha'amurot batorah, lefi sha'a, even if he commands you to violate a Torah law, lefi sha'a, temporarily, shmalo, you have to listen. Okay, v'hover al dvarav chayav mita b'dei shamayim, and if you don't listen to him, your chayav misa b'dei shamayim. Okay, whole bunch of other halachos. The Navi himself, if God appears to you, you're a Navi and gives you a message and you refuse to spread the message, you're also chayav misa, etc., etc. Okay, so what we see is from the earliest sources, Sifrei is, you know, is Tanaim, there was this understanding. It would be too strong to say part of the role of a Navi is to change halacha temporarily. I don't think that that's a fair statement, but he's allowed to. And it's a significant, you know, if you ask yourself, how important is the institution of prophecy? Well, if he's allowed to change halacha, even temporarily, you know, you take it pretty seriously, right? If he's allowed to tell you that today you can eat cheeseburgers, so today, you know, be a huge Kiddush Hashem for a frum Jew to win the Nathan's hot dog eating championship. I'm still culturally attuned, right? It's weird, but that's his power. Okay, and again, it's not just the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvos. Here we have in source number 4. Here's the Rambam and the Ikrei Amunah. Okay, so the 13 Ikrei Amunah that almost every sitter has in the back of Shachris, that language was not written by the Rambam. Yeah, I'm not sure anybody knows who wrote that language, but, you know, it's a summary. But the Yud Gimel Ikrei Emunah are much longer. They're found at the end of Sanhedrin in the Rambam's Perush HaMishnayos. Here's the 6th one. V'hayisod hashishi hanevuah. The 6th foundational principle of Judaism is prophecy. V'hu l'da'at shezeh hamin ha'enoshi, that humanity, Yesh sheyimtzu bo ishim ba'alei kishronot mefutachim me'od ushleimut gidola. Says the Rambam, it's a really interesting spin, but it's classic Rambam. He's not so interested in the other parts. He says, what does it mean that there is prophecy? It means there are human beings who have extraordinary abilities and have perfected themselves in a way that allows God to communicate with them. Until ad she mikabelet surat haseichel, a person becomes, in my own words, you know, so holy or so smart that he starts to take on the form of intelligence as opposed to just his physical representation. V'yidchaber oto haseichel ha'enoshi b'seichel ha'poel, and that kind of superhuman intellect connects to, I guess, God's intelligence. V'yatzel aleihem imenu atzilat shefa, and God's, I don't know, divinity lands on them. V'eloheim ha'nevi'im, v'zohi ha'nevuah, v'zehu inyana. Okay, and that's the core of prophecy. There's more in the Rambam, but that's what we have here. Here, the Rambam's not emphasizing as you and I would have, or I would have. If you ask me, what's a Navi? I'll say when God has a message and he wants to deliver it to the Jewish people or to humanity as a whole, you know, he needs a Navi. I don't think the Rambam disagrees with that, but the Rambam says what's so critical about Nevuah that I think is a foundational principle of Judaism is the other side, is that they are human beings who could teach themselves and perfect themselves in such a way that they can, you know, they can tune in, they can connect to God in a way that regular people could never do. It's like, you know, it's like the highest level of perfection within humanity allows you to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll see that's really the Rambam Shita. We'll see that in the Yad HaChazaka. But it's fascinating. The Rambam thinks that the critical element of prophecy is the perfection of a human being. Now, something we won't have time to discuss, but we just have to put on the table is, it's okay, great. The Rambam has the sixth principle, which is such a thing as prophecy. Now he has the seventh principle. V'hayisod ha-shivi'i nevuat Moshe Rabbeinu. No, there's something else. Super prophecy. V'hu, shena'amin shehu avihen shel kol ha'nevi'im, shekidomo lefanav, v'haba'im acharav. Rama says, the seventh principles, we have to believe in a really like a funny thing. Moshe Rabbeinu is the father of all prophets, including those who came before him. V'hakol hein lemata mimenu b'ma'ala. Every Navi in the history of the world is a Navi on a level beneath that of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'hu b'chir Hashem mikol hamin ha'enoshi. Moshe is the chosen human being from all of humanity. Asher hisig mimenu yit'ala yoter mima shehisig v'yasig kol adam shenimsa v'sheyimotze. He achieved a level that is greater than the level achieved by any human being who ever lived and any human being who will ever live, right? Pretty definitive and pretty broadly stated. So again, we don't have time. There's all these discussions why the Rambam thought it was so critical to talk about not just Nevuah, but Moshe's Nevuah being on a level above it. Almost certainly it has to do with attacks on Chamisha Chumshei Torah, which of course is Torat Moshe, right? Everything we have in the Torah was given by Moshe Rabbeinu. So obviously it needs to be critical that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was not just accurate, but it existed on a level in form and in substance better than any other Nevuah that ever was given and that will ever be given. Okay? Presumably that also allows Ram to say, sure, he's a Navi, but, you know, he doesn't touch Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, but again, the main point in the Rambam is that prophecy is the perfection of human beings. Good, we're fine. Now, it's out of order, but I thought we needed that as an introduction to now look at the psukim. The psukim relating to the mitzvah of Nevuah are found in Parsha Shoftim, and they're fascinating. And, you know, it's the kind of thing you read these psukim all the time, but until you really, really focus, sometimes, you know, you miss certain points. And here we're going to see that the institution of Nevuah was requested by us. by the Jewish people. It seems like this is one of the ways that we have impacted on halacha and on history, in a way maybe similar, if opposite, to the institution of a king, which we've discussed before and we'll see later. Here we go. Source number 5. Says the Torah, Ki ha-goyim ha-eila asher ha-tayoresh otam, you're about to go into Eretz Yisrael, the Gentiles who you're going to disinherit, el me'onanim ve'el kosmin yishma'un, they listen to, I don't know, soothsayers and, you know, tarot card readers and whatever. Ve'ata lochein natan lecha Hashem alokecha. But we don't do it that way. Well, how do we do it? Navi mikir becha me'achecha kamoni yakim lecha Hashem alokecha, a love tishma'un. That's the pasuk. Moshe says, no. God, when God wants to speak to you, he will establish a prophet. Kamoni. Interesting. Again, the Rambam says that's impossible. It's not kamoni. But maybe it's Moshe's humility speaking here. A love tishma'un. That's the mitzvah taseh min ha-Torah, that you have to obey a prophet. Now, here's the fascinating part. Why is this necessary, says Moshe, like an editorial in the Torah? Because we don't need these psukim. Kechol asher sha'alta me'im Hashem alokecha b'chorev b'yom ha-kahol le'mor. Says Moshe, remember, it's what you, the Jewish people, asked of God at Maimad Har Sinai. What did you say there? Lo osef lishmoa et kol Hashem alokai. Right? It's a story we all know. God wanted to give us the entire Aseres HaDibros, but it was overwhelming to us. It says, Moshe, at Har Sinai, you said, no, we can't hear it directly from God anymore. It's too much. We can't stand it. We can't stand the presence of the great fire. God's presence is too overwhelming. And so what did God say? Pasuk Yud Zayin, bottom of the page. Vayomer Hashem Elai. What they say is fair. What they say makes sense. Maybe it's too much for them to get the Torah directly from me. Therefore, Navi Akim Lahem Mikerav Acheihem Kamocha. God says to Moshe, you know what? I'll establish a prophet from amongst them like you. V'natati divarai b'fiv, and I'll give him my word. V'diber aleihem et kol asher atzavenu. And that Navi will then, you know, convey my word to the Jewish people. Okay, now you have just the details. The halachos v'ya isha shelo yishmael divorei sheidaber b'shmiyonochi edrosh meimo. And if you don't listen to the Navi, you know, says God, I will deal with that person. Okay? But if the Navi lies, umei ta Navi hahu. Now, Pasuk Chav Aleph, right? This is the big problem. And, you know, it's interesting. The Torah actually writes it in the form of the question that we ask, namely, v'chi tomar bilvavecha, and if you wonder and ask yourself, echa neida et hadavar asher lo dibro Hashem, how will we know if this is a real Navi? How will we know if what he's telling us is really the word of God? Okay, and, you know, it's the Achilles heel of the whole institution of prophecy, and we all know it, right? We're all comfortable, I think, with the fact that there's no prophecy bizman hazeh, because we don't have to deal with the possibility that when somebody shows up, he's not just telling you his opinion, he's an actual prophet, right? We don't have to deal with the possibility that when somebody tells you, hey, God wants you to, God wants you to teach third grade in the yeshiva of North Jersey. That's your role. But you don't want to teach third grade because you're a surgeon. Oh, that's not a good example. You don't want to teach third grade because you're a currency trader. Okay? Something that's clearly saving the world. So, you know, you don't have to worry about it. Okay, you say you're God's prophet, but you're not. But what if he was? That's pretty bad. What if you have to change your whole life because some guy you never met comes over to you during laning on Shabbos and tells you, you know, you're supposed to be a third grade Rebbe. So how do you know if he's a Navi? So the Torah tells us something that, to be blunt, is not that helpful. Well, he says, Asher yidaber ha-Navi b'shem Hashem v'lo yihye ha-davar v'lo yavo. Well, if the guy tells you something about the future and it doesn't happen, Well, then, hu hadavar asher lo dibro Hashem. Okay, then he's not God's real prophet. Bizadon dibro is a lie, he's a fraud. Hanavi lo togur mimenu. Right? Don't be afraid of him. Don't obey him. Okay? The following. There isn't, you know, Goyim follow these, you know, card readers who tell the future, right? It's interesting. The Torah doesn't say we don't do that. The Torah says we don't have to do that because we have prophets. Why do we have prophets? Because we, the Jewish people at Har Sinai, demanded it, right? And an interesting possibility, if the fair reading of these psukim is, God may have kept going. Maybe God wouldn't have given us just the Ten Commandments. He would have given us all 613, right? It's hard to know from the psukim, but it sounds like we said to God, we can't hear it directly from you. We need an intermediary. And God said, okay, it makes sense to me. I will establish some intermediary. I will establish the institution of prophecy. And, you know, there will be prophets who can tell you my word. All right? So those are, I really think that those psukim are fascinating. Now, let's go back to the topic of changing halacha. Hey, this is really where, it's surprisingly, there's a lot of discussion about the role of a prophet in changing halacha, which again would be something that I think intuitively we would dismiss. And I think intuitively we dismiss it because we've never experienced prophecy. Not just we've never had prophecy, but we've never met a prophet. So the whole thing seems kind of dangerous. You know, I'm comfortable with halacha where it is. And, you know, if a guy shows up and tells me this year on Sukkos, you know, you should walk around the shul with an orange, you know, that seems weird. And let's say it the real way. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is perfect and immutable and eternal, well, then why would it ever be the case that God needs an agent who's going to change halacha? How can he improve on the perfect Torah? And yet that's the institution. Let's look at the Rambam. In source number 6, in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, where all the Nevuah stuff appears, Perek Zayin Halacha Zayin. Okay, but the first, the first Rambam is not the Halacha Rambam, really. It's the Rambam's explanation for who a Navi is. And here the Rambam has a take related to what we've seen in the Yud Gimel Ikrei Amunah, which I think is different than the take that we would have. And I'll just give you an example. Okay, think to yourselves right now, what does a Navi look like?
Nice beard.
So here's the correct answer. Either you saw a guy in a toga, or you probably saw like a homeless guy with really, really long hair. And, you know, some guy shows up out of nowhere. He looks weird. He acts weird. You know, he sings all the time. He speaks in poetry. I don't know. That's the way most people see it. You probably didn't see a regular guy, you know, some person who you really, really respect, some person who's from and smart and nice. Says the Rambam, you're looking for a Navi in the wrong place. Source number 6. V'lo kol ha'oseh otu mofet ma'aminim lo shehu Navi. No, you don't just show up and do a trick, and therefore you're a Navi. Who's a Navi? Ela adam shehayinu yodim bo mitchilato shehu ra'uy l'nevuah. No, it starts with a person who you look around shul, you look around the people you know, and you say, this guy seems incredible. He's smart and he's thoughtful and he's moral and he's insightful and he's a huge Talmud Chacham. You look for the best person you know. B'chachmato u'b'ma'asav shenitala bahem al kol b'nei gilo v'haya mehalech b'darkei ha'nevuah b'kidushato frishuta. It's not just that he learns a lot of Torah. He davens incredibly well and he gives tzedakah and he's holy and he's frum and he's connected to God. On top of that, again, he's not some weird guy. He's the guy who comes to shul three times a day. He's from. He's a Talmud Chacham. He's all the things we admire. On top of that, he then does an Otu Mofet Va'amar Shehakel Shilacho, and he says, God sent me. Mitzvah Lishma Mimenu Sheneemar Elav Tishma'on. Then it's a mitzvah to listen to him. Now again, it doesn't says the Rambam, the person, the only reason that you would possibly suspect or believe that a person is a prophet is because you knew him already as a perfected human being. You knew him already as a genuinely religious, thoughtful, caring, all these things, right? You respected him already. It changes the game, right? It doesn't mean we still don't have problems, but it changes the game because he's not a homeless guy. And he's not a certainly a Mechal Shabbos or anything like that. Okay? And the Rambam says again, Va'afal began mitzvah lishmalo. Why? Ho'il va'adam gadol v'chacham v'ra'ul le'nevuah. Because he's a great person. So ma'amidim oto al chazkato. Again, he's not somebody who comes out of nowhere. So therefore we trust him, right? Just close your eyes and think of the person you most respect in the world. Says the Rambam, he, maybe she, you know, is in the running to be a Navi. It's a different experience. Shebekach nitztavin u'kumosh nitztavin lachtochet hadin al pi shnei edim sherim. I'll explain. Now the Rambam says, it's the standard that the Torah gives. How do we ever know anything 100%? So says the Rambam, you don't really know things 100%. The Torah establishes certain standards and you go by it, right? Two edim can put a person to death. Under very limited circumstances, but two Adam can do it. Are you 100% sure? No, but the Torah said, you know, we're human beings. You can work off that standard. Says the Rambam, same thing with Nevuah. Could you be 1,000% sure? Maybe not. But the Rambam says, you know, we're human beings. If the person has a Cheskas Kashrus, right? You've watched him, you've seen him, you've known him, and now he does something in the name of God, says the Rambam, the Torah says, you're allowed to trust him until and unless, sadly, it turns out he's a fraud. Okay, now let's go back to the halacha issue. Says the Rambam in source number 7, also in Yisodei Torah, v'chein im yomar lanu ha-navi she-noda lanu shehu navi. Okay, you have a guy and you trust him as the prophet. He tells you la'avor al achat mikol mitzvot ha-amurot ba-Torah o al mitzvot harbe. Okay, he tells you again, eat cheeseburgers on July 4th, or a bunch of mitzvahs. Ben Kalot Ben Chamurot, says the Rambam, lefi sha'a, so long as it's just temporary, mitzvah lishmalo. Then is a mitzvah aseh min ha-Torah to listen to this person. V'chein lamadnu mechachamim rishonim yipi ha-shmua, b'chol, im yomar lecha ha-navi avor al divrei Torah. The Navi tells you to violate an Isur Torah, you're supposed to do it. Now, why is this so important? Because the answer is, that's what Nevi'im did from time to time in Tanakh. And the Rambam quotes the most famous example. Ke Eliyahu Behar HaKarmel. What did Eliyahu do on Har HaKarmel? He brought Kadshim Bachutz. It's an Isur D'Oraisa to bring a karban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. It was during Eliyahu's time, it is now also. And he did it. So how could he have done it? That's an Isur D'Oraisa. That's like telling everybody to eat cheeseburgers. Says the Rambam, but he did it, and he's allowed to. V'hu sheyihyeh ha-davar l'fi sha'a. Because he didn't say, I'm here to be matir bamos. He didn't say, from now on, God changed his mind. You can bring a karban in your backyard. He said, right now I need to do this. Kigon Eliyahu Bahar Kamel, Shehikriv Ola Bachutz, V'Yerushalayim Nivcheret Lekach, V'Hamakriv Bachutz Chayev Kares. He did an Isur Kares. U'mipnei Shehu Navi, but because he's a Navi, Mitzvah Lishmo'alo. V'gam B'zeh Ne'emar Elav Tishmo'un. Says the Rambam, in that case, you are Mekayim a Mitzvah Saseh Min HaTorah by being over an Isur D'Oraisa of bringing a karban outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'ilu sha'alu et Eliyahu v'amru lo, hey'achna akor mashikosu b'torah, pental elotecha b'chol ha'makom. If you said to Eliyahu, hey, that's against the pasuk, Haya omer lo ne'emar el hamakriv b'chutz le'olam chayav karet k'mo shetziva Moshe. No, it's true. It says you can't do it forever. Aval ani akriv hayom b'chutz bidvar Hashem kidei lehakchish nevi'ei habal. But Eliyahu said to them, I'm not changing the Torah forever. I'm saying God appeared to me and said, right now, the times demand a change, right? We're in a war with the Nevi'ei Habal, with these fake Nevi'im. By the way, it's funny that they're called Nevi'ei Habal. We're in a war with these fake Nevi'im who are leading the people on the path of Avodah Zarah. Says Eliyahu, therefore God appeared to me and said, temporarily, I am suspending the din of Kachim Bachutz because I need you to disprove the Nevi'ei Habal. Okay? So it's as if from time to time, you know, God needs to temporarily suspend certain halachos because it's necessary. It's fascinating. I would never have thought of this. What's the first case of a Navi suspending a din HaTorah? You'll never get it. I wouldn't have gotten it either. The Minchas Chinuch, which is, there's no room on the sheet, there's not enough time. The Minchas Chinuch says, Yitzchak Avinu, when he allowed himself to be, well, it didn't happen, but to be brought as a karban at the Akedah, was doing it in violation of Torah law. But what? His father Avraham was a Navi, right? Child sacrifices in Isser Doraisa. But his father presumably said to him, God appeared to me and told me to do this. Therefore, via my power as a Navi, you're obligated to, you know, to consent to your being brought as a karban. A fascinating example. There's a million questions to ask. There was no Torah yet, blah, blah, blah. I just wanted to drop that because I think it's great. Okay. What's clear in the Rambam is that Eliyahu was doing this bidvar Hashem. Okay, so we're kind of comfortable with that. The Navi shows up and says, God told me to suspend the following mitzvah temporarily because there's a great need. Okay, so we'll do it. But Tosfos thinks that's not necessarily the case. Tosfos in source number 8 in Sanhedrin, Pei Tes Amud Beis, says as follows. Ve'i al pi hadibur, wait, if God appeared to Eliyahu and told him specifically what to do, lama li tzarech hasha'ah, why would it have to be temporary? Bein litzorech, bein shelo litzorech, tzarich lekayem tzivuyo shel makom. I don't understand. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows up and says, you know what? I'm changing a din HaTorah. Okay, from now on, you have to wear strings on three-cornered garments. Says Tosus, but it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He could do what he wants. Right? Well, why is there a need for a direct command? Why does it have to be temporary? He says, Vadai bin Avisha Samidato Ka Amra Braisa. Wow. He says, no. The power of a Navi is such that he can suspend a din HaTorah or add something temporarily, even if he didn't hear it directly from God. That's a huge kiddush. He says, if he heard it directly from God, so of course, you know, he can do it, and he can do it forever. But we're talking here of a person who's reached a status as a Navi that he did not hear it from God. Okay? And he says, Eliyahu, he hints strongly that Eliyahu did not get a direct command from God. But Eliyahu understood that the time was such that they needed a public declaration and a challenge to the Nevi'ei Habal, so he did it. And the Minchas Chinuch thinks that's also the Shita of the Sefer HaChinuch. In source number 9, you read it, and I think he's probably right. It says, Shenitztavinu lishma b'kol kol navi mehanevi'im b'chol ma sheyitzavenu. Okay, we have to listen to a Navi with whatever, through whatever he commands us. Va'afilu yitzave otanu la'asot behefech mitzvah achat min ha-mitzvot. Even if he tells us to violate a mitzvah. Why? Ki be'emet, because in truth he says, achar shehu navi emet, once he is proven as a true prophet, kol kavanotav litova, all of his intentions are to good, v'chol asher ya'asehu oseh lechazek hadat, everything he does is to strengthen the religion, ulaha'amin b'shem baruch hu, and to increase belief in God. The simple reading of the chinuch, I think it's really true, is that the Navi, once he becomes a Navi, so long as he's doing it to strengthen halacha and to strengthen the Jewish people, he could change that which he wants to change. He really can. He has that kind of authority. He has that kind of power. And, you know, on the one hand, this is dangerous, but on the other hand, it really speaks to the we thought originally that it's not the institution of Nevuah that matters so much. It's that God has a message and he wants to pass it along. So he does it through a messenger who we think of as a Navi. But now we're opened up to this new idea. The new idea is, no, a Navi has independent power. God puts him in charge. And now he has certain independent decision-making authority that we have to respect. Okay, on the one hand, it really increases the strength and the power of the institution of a Navi. On the other hand, it makes us nervous. And I want to give you an example from last week's parasha or 2 weeks ago's parasha, depending on where you are. And that is the example of the Ketoret contest that Korach was commanded to do. Remember, look at source 11. Maybe we'll come back to 10, which we just skipped, depending on the time. Source 11. God, Moshe says this follows. Vayidaber el Korach ve'el kol adato lemor. Moshe speaks to Korach and his whole assembly and says as follows. Boker v'yoda Hashem et ashelo ve'et hakadosh v'yikri ve'lov ve'et ashe yivchar bo yakri ve'lov. In the morning, God will reveal who really is his chosen. And then what's the next pasuk, which I guess I should have put on the sheet, right? Zot asu. Right? The big Ketoret contest. You 250 people bring Ketoret. Aaron brings Ketoret. Whoever is accepted is chosen. Whoever gets incinerated is not. And all the Rishonim ask, well, where is the commandment from God in the Torah to do this contest? Right? How does Moshe know? When is it that God tells Moshe, here's the plan? So the simple answer is, it doesn't have to say in the Torah, right? From the fact that Moshe did it, we understand that he was commanded to do so. And the Ramban thinks that that might be true, but he proposes another possibility, which I think is staggering. Here it is. Vihine, second paragraph in 11. Moshe me'atzmo chashav ha-machshava hazot. Moshe himself thought up this idea of the Ketoret contest. V'ratza b'ktoret yoter mishar karbonot, and he chose Ketoret more than other karbonot. Why? Ki ra'akvar b'nadav avihu, ki b'hakrivam Ketoret zara lifnei Hashem nisrafu. No, he already saw that the Ketoret has the power to incinerate people who bring it improperly. Aye, but how could Aaron bring it? V'hitir li'aharon lehaktir ota litzorach hasha'ah. Moshe Rabbeinu, I'll add the words, in his status as a Navi, told Aaron, yes, you could violate Torah law right now. Okay? The Ramban is a little nervous about this. So he says, V'da'ati bazeh, so here's my sense. Shehaita alav yad Hashem bohem, v'hu hanikra ruach hakodesh. Says the Ramban, there's something between a Navi and us. It's a spectrum. And on the spectrum, there's something called Ruach HaKodesh. What does that mean? Ki inyan b'sifrei David u'shlomo, shehayu b'ruach HaKodesh. Where we don't think of David HaMelech or Shlomo HaMelech as being Nevi'im. But we know that they had Ruach HaKodesh, which I'll define as, you know, divine inspiration. U'kmo she'amar, Ruach Hashem diber bi, Umilato al-lishoni. Right? David HaMelech says, the Spirit of God spoke to me, and his word was on my tongue. He's not a Navi, but it gives him some kind of insight, some kind of divine inspiration. I'll call it some kind of divine intuition. Ki Moshe Rabbeinu b'chol beito ne'emanhu. Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, lived in God's house. He was the most trusted ever. And so therefore, now I'll say it in my own words, says the Ramban, God did not appear to Moshe and say, hey, do this Torah contest. But Moshe Rabbeinu had a divine intuition. Moshe Rabbeinu could intuit based on his status as a Navi, perhaps, or maybe just based on his status as the greatest person ever, but he could intuit God's will. And says the Ramban, that's a status. I think the Ramban would say, that's not the standard of Nevuah, but it's the power of a Navi, or we'll say on a lower level, right? It's the power of divine inspiration. And so the Ramban is open to some kind of status where it's not prophecy, but a person operates on a level that's so far above those of regular people that he can intuit God's will. Okay, it's not exactly. Again, Tosfos said, if you're a Navi, right, you can decide things on your own. I'm not sure if the Ramban agrees with that, but the Ramban recognizes that which all of us understand in our own lives. There are moments where we feel divine inspiration. No, it doesn't allow us to decide to eat cheeseburgers or violate Torah laws. But there are moments like that where you feel like you know for sure what God wants from you. Right? Lahavdil, right? You know, you're married for a long time. At some point, your wife doesn't have to tell you. You know what she's thinking. And so there are people, I think he said, would have Ruach HaKodesh who intuit that which God is saying. And it's not the pure form of prophecy, but it's a strong enough form that people can have some confidence when they do it. Okay? Now, let's wrap up with a last thought, which I think will help put a lot of this into context. When we saw the institution of Nevuah, I'll say one quick thing before the last point. It's there. Okay? What happens if you violate the rules of a Navi? So presumably, you know, you're in violation of Nisa Doraisa. The Rambam says, you know, a love tishma'un. So you're in violation of Nisa Doraisa. So let's take an example. A Navi comes to Tinek, maybe he's already there, and he says, I want to let you know, I am commanding you to go to Minyan 3 times a day. Okay? And you know this person, and all he gives up, you know, and he does miracles to prove it. Okay? And you have no doubt he's a Navi. And he just told you, you have to go to Minyan 3 times a day. And so you do it for a week. You do it for 2 weeks. Then you oversleep. Are you in violation of the words of the Navi or not? Is that an Isser D'Oraisa to not go to Minyan one day? Okay, it was a shogeg, whatever. So the Rambam and all the other people we've seen talk about, you know, if you don't do what the Navi says, then you're over an Isser D'Oraisa. But Rashi uses it, the Mishnah in source number 10 in Pei Tes Amud Aleph in Sanhedrin, doesn't talk about ha'over al divrei Navi, the way the Rambam does. It says ha'mevater al divrei Navi. It means his words are not important enough to you. You don't think that they have value. And Rashi says ha'mevater al divrei Navi, ha'mafkiram, shelo chashash l'ma she'amar lo ha'navi. Rashi says, no, it's you reject him. I know this guy told me I have to go to Minyan 3 times a day. But I don't believe that he has the authority to do that. I reject his nevuah. That's different. And that's parallel, again, the Minchas Chinuch says this, that's the parallel of the machlokas with respect to drabanans, right? The Rambam says that you have a mitzvah to, you know, of lo tasur, right? When Chazal tell you something, you have to listen to them. If you don't listen to them, you're in violation of an Isser D'Oraisa, of a mitzvah D'Oraisa, of listening to Chazal. Say the Ramban, wait, but then you've just turned every Drabanan into a D'Oraisa. Because every time you don't listen to the Rabbanan, you're in violation of a mitzvah Satara that tells you have to listen to the Rabbanan, and that can't be. So the Ramban says, no, the answer is, if you reject the authority of Rabbanan, then you're in violation of an Isser D'Oraisa. And we can say the same thing here. If you reject the authority of a Navi, if you reject the institution of Nevuah, if you don't believe that God can communicate with humanity, then you're in violation of an Isser D'Oraisa. But if you believe it, you just happen to oversleep, that's not a violation of the Isur D'Oraisa. Okay, a side point, but a fascinating point in Lamdus. Last thing. When we read the Psukim, we saw a contrast between our mitzvah and the mitzvah of appointing a king. Okay, you go back to the Psukim in source number 5, and the Torah says as follows. You're about to go into the land. They listen to sorcerers and all these other elmonim. You should not do that. With respect to kings, we find kind of the opposite. Source 12. With respect to kings, okay, I want a king because all the goyim have kings, and God says, okay. With respect to prophecy, right, the Torah says, well, you're coming to a land where they have fake prophecy, but no, you will have real prophecy. The parshios both appear in Shoftim, and there seems to be, the Torah seems to be setting up some kind of parallel or some kind of contrast. And here's what I think, okay? We mentioned this before. We all know that under Torah law, it's near impossible to convict somebody of a capital crime, right? When you read the Torah, you think every Monday and Thursday after laning, you know, they killed people. But when you read Torah Shabbat Peh, you realize it's not true. That essentially, right, you need to have two witnesses standing together saying to the guy, listen, if you pull the trigger, right, you're going to be killed by Beis Din. And not only that, they tell him how he's going to be killed by Beis Din. And according to some shitas, he has to say, I understand, va'afal pikein, I'm committing this crime. And according to other shitas, it has to be done toch kidei dibur. The short answer is, no one's ever going to be convicted of a crime. And the Ran says, it's a really important Ran. The Ran says, yeah, the system doesn't work. The system as written in the Torah doesn't work. It has to be adjusted. And that's the role of a king. A king can step in and administer justice in a way that the Torah doesn't allow, because the king has that kind of power. And therefore, instead of people running around killing people or stealing because it's so impossible to be convicted, right? The king enforces Torah justice, even without the, you know, the technical requirements. And I think it's a similar thing with respect to Nevuah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up a Torah, and the Torah is perfect, and the Torah is immutable, and it's forever. But sometimes, right, events require a change. And so God sets up the institution of prophecy to allow for those changes. Yeah, at the time of Eliyahu HaNavi, we needed to shecht kachim b'chutz to try to fix the situation. You know, Avraham Avinu needed to, at least in theory, sacrifice his son to establish the religion. And the Torah is limited because it has to be a set of laws that exists unchanging forever. But circumstances require it. It's kind of like the Torah says, you're not allowed to drive a car on Shabbos, assuming the Torah said that. Okay, but your wife is in labor. So we understand you're supposed to violate for some temporary period of time the rules of Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh. And it makes complete sense to us. And so I want to suggest that prophecy is the same way with respect to halacha. And that is, it could be that there are times that require a change or a violation of Torah law for a greater purpose. And therefore, God established the institution of prophecy. Because we already told God, if you communicate directly with us, it's too much for us. We're not on that level. We can't do it. It's beyond us. So therefore, at our request, God said, okay, I'll establish a way that I can communicate with you that you can abide by. And it's not just for Musar purposes. It's not just for encouragement. It's not just when you need inspiration. It's also when I need, quote unquote, to change certain halachos temporarily, because the time requires that to be done. And so the way in which I'm going to get that done is by establishing something called a Navi, and he has the authority, certainly, to change things on a direct sivui by God, but according to Tosus and the Chinuch and maybe others, to intuit the need to look around and say, the times require this change. And I'm a Navi, and my sense is HaKadosh Baruch Hu would support me in this, and so I'm going to do it. And it turns out, you know, we're so wrong to fear the institution of Nevuah. And maybe I'm just projecting here. But, you know, it's like, okay, I know what the Torah is. I don't have to worry that anything is going to change today. If somebody shows up and tells me I'm doing something wrong, or I'm really supposed to be living someplace else, or doing something else for my profession, I'll dismiss him. Because I know that God doesn't tell him things. But what if we live in a world where God does tell people things? First of all, we'd be jealous, which is a good thing, because we would try harder. Because who wants to communicate with, you know, and it's not me. We would try harder, but it would make us more God-sensitive, right? The whole possibility, if we really believe that we live in a time where God speaks to human beings, right, it would change our perspective. And we have, because of the way we do, just like, you know, we've kind of marginalized the Beit HaMikdash, because we've never seen it, it's not part of our lives, we've marginalized the institution of prophecy. And, you know, I think this is a good Shabbos to try to bring it back into our lives. Of course, you know, we have this idea that it doesn't exist bizman hazeh, but it doesn't mean we can't try. It doesn't mean we can't think from time to time that maybe this person talking to me is so greater than me. He's not a Navi, but maybe he has divine inspiration. Maybe I have to take his words seriously. Maybe I have to think that he really has an understanding of God that I don't have. Okay? I could go on and on, but it's a yuntif. I'm sure that you have to fire up the barbecues in advance of Shabbos. It's like Purim on a Friday. It's so awkward. Anyway, thanks very much. I suppose we'll meet again next Friday. That's it for today. Good job.